This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning to you. I'm Pastor Brian de Villiers. I'm so glad to be with you this morning as we gather around the Word of God and as we continue with our series, which we're coming to an end slowly. 12 studies on the life of Christ, and I want to speak to you this morning about the triumph of his resurrection. And I want to read from the scriptures that come from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's what we're going to look at today, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And when we speak about the triumph of his resurrection, one of the most wonderful chapters, as I've said already, is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It is the greatest resurrection chapter, in the opening verses of which the Apostle Paul plainly declares the gospel. And I read from verses 1 to 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Here is the good news. The good news, the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, died for our sins, was buried, and he rose again. Great and wonderful and deeply significant as was the Savior's death, had he not risen from the tomb, his death could and would have meant very little to us. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus was, of course, unique. Others have died, and God raised them to life again. But they have died again sooner or later. We read the account this morning from Matthew chapter 9. And this is what Matthew chapter 9 tells us, and we want to hear it from verse 25. It says this to us: But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went out throughout the land. So the little girl was raised to life again. And then we read the account that comes to us from Luke's Gospel. And that we read from chapter 7. And this is what it says to us in Luke chapter 7. And I read from verses 12 to 15. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man who was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, Do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say to you, arise. You got that this morning? Young man, I say to you, arise. Jesus died, but he rose again the third day in the power of an endless life. That's what we are told. We read again these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 4, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus was a literal bodily resurrection. His body was hung upon the cross, and after he had voluntarily given up his spirit, they took his body down from the cross, and Joseph and Nicodemus reverently laid his precious body in the garden tomb. And this is what it tells us in that account. And I want us to read from it this morning because I want to show you something from it. And it tells us here in John's Gospel, chapter 19, we read these words. John's Gospel, chapter 19. And I read from verse 38. And this Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission, so he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. And they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. And so here we have the account of Jesus' body being laid in the tomb, a body of flesh and bones that was put in it, and they carefully handled the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet it was a body that obeyed other laws, because we are told in John 20 and verse 19, this is what it tells us, John 20 and verse 19, then the same day, evening being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Do you notice something? Jesus himself came. He came through the doors and he stood in their midst. His body was observed other laws. He passed through the door and he was present. Let us consider the following clear and definite evidences that our Lord Jesus Christ really did rise again from the dead. Number one, there is the word of the Lord Jesus himself. Before he died, Jesus said that on the third day after his death, he would rise again. And we read that from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. And this is what Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, tells us. As we read here in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, 39. And he answered and said, "An evil and adulterous generation seek a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." And Jesus was telling them what was going to happen. We turn over to chapter 16 and verse 21, and this is what it tells us. For the first time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day. That's what he tells us very, very clearly. And then when we go to John's Gospel again, and we're reading a number of scriptures just to prove it to you this morning in what I am saying to you, we read again from John's Gospel chapter 2. And there we read from verse 18. And this is what it tells us. John's Gospel chapter 2 from verse 18 to 22. "And he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten of the Son. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil." That's what Jesus was saying to them. And then he says, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come into the light, lest the deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, and his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." And after these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained, and with them, and baptized. So it speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ. And after his resurrection, he declared that he had been raised from the dead. Because we turn to John chapter 20, and I read from verse 19. John chapter 20, and I read from verse 19. And this is what it tells us. John 20 and verse 19. "Then the same day, evening, being the first day of the week, When the doors were shut, the disciples assembled for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands, his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father hath sent me, so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That's what Jesus did. In fact, he did not rise. If he had not risen from the dead, then he was an imposter, a deceiver, a liar. To disbelieve the bodily resurrection of Christ is to reject his own testimony. On the other hand, if he is the Son of God and we believe and know that he is, we know that he rose again because we have his own word for it. His own word tells us. And we turn for that to 1 John chapter 5 this morning. And this is what 1 John chapter 5 tells us. 1 John chapter 5, and I read there from verses 9 and 10. And it says, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And this is the witness of God, which has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given us his Son." It tells us plainly and very clearly. Number two, there's the historic account in the four Gospels. In spite of the fact that every attempt has been made to discredit the accuracy of these records, no one has ever succeeded. In the Gospels, we have four independent accounts of the resurrection of Jesus, written without collaboration on the part of the writers. And these four eyewitnesses' accounts manifest a wonderful harmony. It is easy to agree that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is the best attested fact of history. When one reads the historical account of the resurrection of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's Gospel, we have the account of it. Number three, there is the significance of the empty tomb. In the Gospels, there's no indication that anyone questioned the fact that the tomb really was empty. Do you know that? How did it become empty? Number one, the disciples removed the body, some say. Why should they? Let's be clear about that. How did they get past the soldiers? Were they all deceivers? Number two, Joseph removed the body. Why? And where? Was he also a deceiver? He removed the body and placed it in the tomb. Three, the Jews removed the body. Had they done so, they would have been the first to say so. Number four, the Roman soldiers removed the body. Why should they risk their lives by doing so? Number five, he did not really die. Some people say that. He did not really die. He only lapsed into unconsciousness. This is another of the unreasonable and stupid explanations given by infidels, with the truth is he rose from the dead and that he's alive forevermore. I want you to get that this morning. He rose from the dead and he's alive forevermore. Number four, there is the evidence of those who saw him, touched him, ate with him, and spoke to him. There were at least 14 groups of persons who saw him alive after his death. There was, in John 20, verse 14 to 18, Mary Magdalene. In Matthew 28, 8 to 10, there was the other Mary that was also there. And then we have the account again that those who saw him, Luke 24, 13 to 31, the two that are on the Emmaus Road, and Jesus drew near to them, and Jesus expounded the scriptures to them, to tell them, because they were confused about what had taken place in Jerusalem. And they even invited him to come to supper with them. And when he blessed the food, they saw his hands and he had gone. And they went back to tell the disciples. All the way back they went from Emmaus back to Jerusalem. John 20, verses 24 to 29. Thomas, doubting Thomas. I'm so glad that doubting Thomas was placed in the Bible for those who doubt. Because he said, unless I can put my finger in the nail marks on his hand, feel his side, I will not believe. And then in 1 Corinthians 15:6, open to 3,000 other people saw him. In 1 Corinthians, it tells us that the apostles saw him as well. In Acts, it tells us that Paul of Tarsus saw the risen Christ on the Damascus Road. He saw the Lord Jesus. In Acts 7:55, Stephen, when he was being stoned to death, he saw Jesus at the right hand of the Father. And John, Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, John on the Isle of Patmos saw the living Christ and he worshipped him. Some have tried to make out the disciples did not really see the Lord Jesus and speak with him. They only imagined they saw him. What a foolish suggestion this is. Number 5, there is the bold and certain testimony of the apostles. Before his death, these men had not grasped the fact that he would rise again. And when he was arrested and later crucified, they were timid, cowardly, and they were full of fear. The Bible tells that very clearly. They were full of fear. Now, when we turn again to Matthew's Gospel again, and we go to verse 26, and this is what it tells us in chapter 26. And this is what it tells us about him. Matthew 26 and verse 56, and this is what it says. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him, and they fled. They left him, and they fled away from him. But after the resurrection, they became bold and courageous. Acts 14:30, they could perceive that they were uneducated and ignorant men, but they perceived that they had been with Jesus. The only message that they had to proclaim was that this Jesus God has raised up from the dead. That's the message they gave. This Jesus, whom the people had shouted out for his crucifixion, God had raised him from the dead. Rather than deny the risen Lord, they were willing to be persecuted, imprisoned, and even martyred for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just mentioned Stephen just a few moments ago. And Stephen was being stoned to death. He saw the picture of Jesus at the right, and he said, don't hold anything against them, but forgive them, Lord, forgive them. Number 6, there is the existence of the church today. There is one permanent institution, and that testifies to the reality of the resurrection of Jesus. And it tells us, in Acts, it tells us that they gathered together, and it's still happening today. People were being brought and being saved, encountered the risen Christ, and they were being added to the church daily, those who were being saved. Isn't that wonderful to know that? And then the last point is number 7. The whole scheme of redemption necessitates the resurrection. The mighty work that he accomplished when he died for us could only be accomplished in us if he rose again. Only thus could we have salvation. He made possible because actual experiential. We need to understand that Jesus Christ was the divine Son of God, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And the Bible says in Romans 10 verse 9, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. And so we have the testimony. We have the testimony of angels. We have the testimony of men that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. But let me say more than that. We have the testimony of people who are still coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day of their lives, people are coming to Christ. Even through this station, radio station, they're coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you that that's the greatest evidence. Jesus said he left the church, and the church is going out on a mission to win the lost to Christ. It doesn't matter. They're preaching the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you in closing this morning, do you believe that Jesus is the divine Son of God? Do you believe that he died and that he rose again and that he's alive forevermore and he wants to come and live inside of you and live his life in you and through you by the power of the Holy Spirit? As I pray this morning, I'm going to pray for you that God will give you the insight into it, and the Holy Spirit will lead you, and the Holy Spirit will guide you. Father, we thank you for your word to us. Oh, we're so thrilled to know about the resurrection, that we serve a risen Christ. He's risen from the dead, and he comes to live within us when we accept him and we receive him into our lives. And he becomes the Lord and the Savior of our lives, and he lives his resurrection life in us and through us, and we've been made alive to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's somebody out there, you've never accepted Jesus, this morning I want to ask you, won't you just pray this prayer? Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for all my sins, but I also believe you rose from the dead. You're alive. I receive you into my life. Become the Savior of my life. Thank you for forgiving me from all my sins. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you pray that prayer, you become a part of the family of God this morning. And we want to help you. There's Radio Cape Pulpit. You can contact them on 021-180-5744. 021-180-5744. They'll only be too glad to help you. And I'm available to you as well. You can contact me on 021-552-4096, Pastor Brian, CRC Cape Town, and I'm there from Mondays to Thursdays between 9 and 12, and I'm willing to help you. God bless you, and may the resurrection of Jesus be something that just brings an enthusiasm to your life today. We serve a risen Christ. God bless you. Have an exceptional day.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.